ಕಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವೆಯ ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೆ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ. ಸೊ ವಿ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 10 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 48 entitled Krishna Pleases His Devotees, text 13 and 14. So please repeat after me. Natan naravara shreshtan arad viksha swabandhavan ಪ್ರತ್ಯುತ್ಥಾಯ ಪ್ರಮೋದಿತ. ಪರಿಶ್ವಯ ಪಿಂದ್ಯ ಚ ನನಾಮ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ರಾಮಂ ಚ. ಓಕೆ, ಸಾರಿ, ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 14. ಬೋಥ್ ಆರ್ ಕಂಬೈನ್ಸ್. ಐ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ರೀಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಇನ್. I'll read the text 13 first. Satan nara vara sheshtan arad viksha swabandhavan pratyuthaya pramodita parishvaja bhinandyacha. Satan nara vara sheshtan ಆರಾಧ್ವಿಕ್ಷ ಸ್ವಬಾಂಧವಾನ್ ಪ್ರತ್ಯುತ್ಥಾಯ ಪ್ರಮೋದಿತ ಪರಿಶ್ವಜ್ಯಾಭಿನಂದ್ಯ ಚ. ಸತಾನ್ನರವರ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾನ್ ಸತಾನ್ ನರವರ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾನ್ ಆರಾಧ್ವಿಕ್ಷ ಸಬಾಂಧವಾನ್ ಪ್ರತ್ಯುತ್ಥಾಯ ಪ್ರಮೋದಿತ ಸತಾನ್ ನರವರ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾನ್ ಮಾತಾಜಿ ಸತಾನ್ ನರವರ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠ Text 13 and 14 are combined, so before we read the transliteration and translation, read the text 14 also. Nanama Krishnam Ramam Cha Satair Apya Vivadita Pujayam Asvidhivat Kritasana Parigrahan. So, he, Akrura, Tan, them, Krishna, Balaram and Uddhav, Naravara, of illustrious personalities, Sheshtan, the greatest, Arath, from a distance, Viksha, seeing, Swa, his, Akruras, Bandhavan, relatives, Pratyuthaya, rising up. Pramudita, joyful. Parishvajya, embracing. Abhinandya, greeting. cha and nanama, bowed down, Krishnam Ramam cha, to Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, sir, he, te, by them, api, and abhivadita, greeted, pujayam asa, he worshipped, vidivat, according to scriptural injunctions, krita, who had done, asana, of seats, parigrahan, acceptance. Translation and purport by the humble disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Akrura stood up in great joy when he saw them, his own relatives, and the greatest of exalted personalities, coming from a distance. After embracing them and greeting them, Akrura bowed down to Krishna and Balaram and was greeted by them in return. Then, when his guests had taken their seats, he worshipped them in accordance with scriptural rules. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami points out that Lord Shri Krishna and the others approached Akrura in a friendly attitude. At first, Akrura reciprocated that friendly mood, and then, in the course of showing them hospitality, he adopted his natural devotional attitude toward the Lord and thus offered his obeisances to Shri Krishna and Shri Balaram. Om Ajnantamirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhuva Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today in this verse we are getting the a glimpse of wonderful perfect relationship role between the Lord and His devotees. How Krishna and Balaram are really interacting with Akrura, and how Akrura reciprocates in the perfect mood. And there are many lessons that we can also learn from that. As Shri Jiva Goswami mentions in the purport, that Akrura first reciprocated the hospitality and the love which on a friendship level with the Lord, and then after duly making them appropriately seated, he did not forget his real role, and then he worshipped them. So if we our the difficulty we have in understanding real friendship or real worship, what to speak of the Lord, but even with among devotees or among outsiders, the root cause of this is just one. If we really go to the root of the root, is that we find it very difficult to accept that we are not the proprietor and controller of everything, and that ultimately it is Krishna who is the doer, who is the enjoyer, and who is the proprietor. Just this fact that the feeling that I am the doer, it is so prominent and so strongly prevalent in our life that even when we come to Krishna conscious environment and we start the process of Krishna consciousness, it takes a lot of sincerity and perseverance to be able to move from this feeling of that we may be able to continue a process on a mental level, but to be able to actually really understand it, it takes difficulties, challenges and calamities which come in everybody's life. That is one of the facts of life, that everybody will be, no matter whether they show it or not, but it's going to come. That's the time when we are really tested, whether we can actually, we get a chance to understand and to realize the meaning of these philosophies. This problem is because of the environment that we have been created in. And right from the beginning, like if you remember from our school days, college days, when we were also in studies, it's, if everybody would like to excel in something, and if we are good at something, then we don't like somebody else to be, or if somebody is very good at the same thing that we are good in, then we find it very difficult to accept it in the right spirit. Maybe if somebody is a very close friend, perhaps. But oftentimes, even in services, we find that if you are very good at, say, maths, and then you don't like science, you don't mind if somebody is excelling in science. It doesn't matter so much. But if you are good in maths, and if somebody else is doing very good in maths, you know, you get that competitive juices, and you feel you have to do better. So that it becomes a kind of a training that starts from that. And then when we are on our own, when we are in occupation, if we are a professional also, we are in an environment where we need to do better, because partly because our promotions depend on that, and partly because we are also, if we like what we do, or if we are good at something, some aspect, then we really would like to compete in that or do the best. And doing the best is a good thing if it's the right consciousness. But we do the best because we don't like anyone else being better than us in that particular area. And then even if you come to devotional circles, even if you come to Krishna consciousness, the tendency will, if you do not watch out and if you do not counter it, it is very strong, very prevalent. Whatever service we do, even if we are doing deity worship, if we are very good at it, then somebody will say something nice and you like it, and then somebody else does something better. Internally, we may feel the pinch that why is he doing better? But if you don't do deity worship, then of course you can glorify everyone, whoever's done so wonderful. You don't have any difficulty. Or if you are now Janmashtami mood is everyone is collecting funds, so if we are known to be, you know, a big collector, then we really like to we like it when we please devotees. We think we are pleasing devotees, we are pleasing Guru and Krishna and doing our best. But the test is when we hear that somebody has done better. I collected 50,000 sold 50,000 coupons worth, and somebody is this time record 1 lakh or something. And then what is our internal feeling? So actually this is a measure of what we do. So any service we do, we have to really introspect. we have to see what is our mood, because that is really the obstruction that comes to our tendency to not only to develop friendly relationship, but what to speak of actually worshipping Krishna, because Krishna is pleased when he sees others. If we are happy at that Krishna is happy with some other devotee, when Krishna is happy with some other devotee and he gets that devotee gets a mercy, and if we are actually happy, then Krishna is very happy with us. So he knows that whether we how we feel about it, and this can't be selective. We may actually think that I was very happy with this person, but I'm not too happy with this person. And you may justify it by saying because he's not actually a devotee, you know, he's actually done this or he's done that. And he may have done this, yes, that is grudgingly we may do, but you know, he has so many other weaknesses or she has so many weaknesses. So this is actually really that voice of envy or the greed, which is what we have been trained in and which is what really is a major obstruction in everything we do. So what did Prabhupada want? Prabhupada really wanted that everybody works together. And from the very beginning he said that I have built a house in which the whole world can live. So he meant it as a community, you know, as a family, and a family which is really having Krishna at the center. But that means pleasing Krishna means to accept that Krishna is the father of all, which means irrespective of backgrounds and natures and you know, whatever, education, gender, etc., that at the root cause we are all on the same whether to please Krishna, and if we really act on that basis, if we try to find happiness on that level, then we can please others, and by pleasing others we please Guru, by pleasing Guru we please Krishna. Even if we are, say, cooking, for instance, if you are a very good cook, and whether it's in the temple or at home, and then we are known for that, people will be speaking highly about it, and we like it and it enthuses us, we get encouraged to do more. But then we find someone who's done better, then it's difficult to accept it. I'm not a cook, but I do hear that sometimes people are reluctant. I don't think in so much in devotees, but outside, you know, there are some, when my mother used to be in touch with one of the famous cooks, and you know, she wrote cookbooks and so on, and then my wife also used to interact with her, and then I've seen others, they're very reluctant to even pass on. If you ask them, then they will be very vague about the recipes, and you know, they will just give some information. You can make out that they don't want you to really be so good in that. So that tendency shouldn't be there in so are we actually eager to see everyone, if someone is doing well, how do we see that, what is our consciousness? How do we see that person doing in whatever area we are doing? Especially when, if we are also comfortable or good in doing that. So, Prabhupada says that actually, he very nicely describes that actually, the heart will find no pleasure if we, you know, if we are only on the level of the ego. So if the ego will find some satisfaction if we are looking after, say, material prestige, material position, and we excel and we do that, even if we do service. But so we will find some satisfaction on the level of the ego, but that is mixed with eventually with some envy or some frustration, you know, some fear of losing everything. That is always a factor. And people say that I see someone very happy and I see he's excelling in that. But we only see the external. But someone who's very good, even if he has done something and he's created something, he's a new invention, or he's started a new company and he's now, in 5 years he's become, you know, billions of dollars worth, etc. But at the end of the day, what is driving it is like somebody else will compete or somebody else will know. And then there are, you know, you have to keep it so confidential, so secret. So that is a fear of losing. Same way, if you have been given some wealth or some, if you have something very, if you are attached to something, if you have a beautiful home or a car or a house or a wife or husband or, you know, any of our possessions. If you are, the minute we are attached, then we have a strong, you know, inclination to protect it and not to lose it. So then our suspicions arise. And then that suspicion becomes the obstacle for having trusting relationships. You don't trust people. I can say from my experience that one of the thing when we interact, when I started interacting with devotees, and now also, one of the greatest reliefs by and large is that, you know, when we are in an environment where we know that people's expectations are only on your own level, and people's relationships are, if they take you as you are, rather than ultimately for some self-serving need, it's a great relief. Otherwise, the instinctive reaction in the outside world would be that when somebody is developing any relationship, eventually we see it as a commercial relationship, and it's always finally, even if there is a friendly relationship, they are very close, say that two executives or two managers who are working very well together, but they are working well because they have a common purpose, which is a commercial purpose. If one of them doesn't do well, eventually he is out, so there is no question of relationship. So finally, at the end of the day, there is we have to see what is the center. Is commerce the center? Is it our own livelihood the center? Or is it Krishna the center? And with that center, then all other things which are necessary to maintain or to progress, and whatever we have been given, the various attributes and assets, can be nurtured. But the test comes when there is a challenge when a challenge comes up. So Prabhupada says that if the joy of the soul, means the soul is happy, the heart is happy when we see two things. When we do our service so well that we inspire others, and when we find happiness when others are succeeding. So it's not that when we want to see others are succeeding, we don't do anything. We don't do that service, we don't do any service, and we are happy with everyone. They're doing very nice. Temple is nicely maintained, everyone. That's one way. That is not, we are not armchair or, we have to do, so what we do as best as we can. And in that we do, and if it inspires others to do well, just like Prabhupada when he launched the book distribution, and when it became more organized, and then the marathons came, people used to wonder that, I mean, why is Prabhupada setting up, is it a matter of competitiveness? Superficially one may see that, yes, there is. But what is the meaning of transcendental competition? Transcendental is the key word. Competition is not. Competition is when everyone is doing the same thing, just like we are also doing it. But what Prabhupada really wanted is that it's a movement of inspiration. So if we see that, that ultimately we are there to please Guru and Krishna, then certainly we should do our best. But not to see that you puncture someone's tire, you know, of the car so that doesn't go, or you take away some books, or you go to any means to see that you are ahead and the other one is low. No. So ultimately we concentrate, and then when we see that someone else is doing well, we are also happy in that. As we've heard so often, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he set the mood when many years ago after a marathon, when then there was a felicitation and a talk in this room hall only, and Maharaj was told that next year we're going to target 1 lakh books. And his reaction was that, I pray that we reach 1 lakh books, and I pray that we are last. So that means to reach 1 lakh would have been a big jump. Maybe it's a huge jump from what we were, which meant that we would have to really, really work hard. But at the same time, he prayed that we are last, means he prays that others are inspired to do even more than that. So this is the way we can reconcile our mood of doing very well in what we do, which is absolutely necessary. It's not the quantum or the final goal. It's not that someone collects 5 lakhs is better than someone who collects 5,000, or someone sells 10,000 books and someone 1,000 is better. No. It's a matter of how much effort we put to the best of our capacity and our means. But at the same time, more important than that is the consciousness in which we do, because that consciousness really is what pleases Guru and Krishna. Because it's no point in doing a wonderful seva at the end of it, which is very result-oriented. At the end of it, the spirit is lost. And that spirit is, where we can be, loving, having loving relationships, trusting and serving together. So this is at all times a constant lesson for us, how we need to progress. If you see in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, actually the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is entirely full of, we constantly hear about how when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified devotees and the reactions of all the other devotees, it's quite surprising actually to hear initially how they would faint in ecstasy. You know, they would be so happy, so joyful. The reactions of the devotees when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his pastime on the night of the Mahaprakash, then he rejected Mukunda initially, and he said, "I will not see you." I mean, more than Mukunda Datta, all the devotees, others were so devastated. So they actually felt for them. So this is the kind of mood, because when they see someone else pleasing the Lord, then they get also very pleased. So Radhanath Maharaj had actually, when he spoke on this subject many years ago, many times, but once he had mentioned that when we are doing services, we should always question. For instance, if we are doing garland seva, he had mentioned that we have to check and see whether are we beautifying the Lord, or are we beautifying our false ego. So same way, even as devotees, if we are cooking, for instance, are we feeding the Lord or feeding our false ego? So the question is always comparing whether it is, what ultimately is the motive, what pleases us. Are we unhappy because somebody else has done better, or because we were not recognized the way we should? So this is where the subtle challenges come within us. And Srila Prabhupada's prayer was always that I wish you are all better preachers than me. Now Prabhupada said the whole movement, and we see it's a worldwide movement. But why would Prabhupada say that? The Prabhupada and the Acharyas, they were not there to glorify themselves or to see that we made thousands of disciples. Their whole mood was to please Krishna. So therefore, if others become better preachers, and more preachers are coming on, then more and more people become to Krishna consciousness, and that would please Krishna. And that is the goal. Because ultimately the goal is to please Krishna. So if we are doing everything for pleasing Krishna, then that has to not be lost sight of. So everything that we do has to have that concern. So this is very nicely illustrated in the story of where the two extremes are in terms of behavior, in the story of Maharaj Prithu and Indra. So Maharaj Prithu was a great king, and there were several those pure devotees who were great kings, who really, when they ruled, even the material successes were there, as well as spiritual harmony was there. It was a perfect kingdom practically, and all the demigods were very happy, and all the flowers would bloom, the rains would come, there was prosperity everywhere. And because of the sacrifices of the great kings, that their only motive was to see that the subjects were happy, and they always learned, they always taught how to surrender to the wise sages who were there, and also trained their subjects accordingly. So he had done 99 Ashwamedh Yagyas, and he was doing the 100th, and that would have been the culmination of unsurpassed event. Of course, he was doing it to please the Lord. The Yagyas were entirely to please Krishna. It was not for their glorification. But the only person, Indra was the only one who had actually done 100 yagyas. So he felt extremely vulnerable, right, threatened at that time. And now one would say, why would he feel threatened? But that is again the nature of our own, that's material nature, that when we see that someone is doing, we have something which is very, very unique, very special, which nobody in the entire world has it, and we are the ones who we are the only one who has done it, or then we would like to keep that record. So in that mood, he came and he stole the sacrificial horse, and Suddenly there was chaos, and Maharaj Prithu then, his son really went after to try to search for the Lord, at Indra. And now see here also in how Vedic times, in spite of knowing, when he found Indra, Indra had actually disguised himself and he became a sadhu. So knowing that he is actually the one who stole the, and all the sages were also telling him that you have to take the horse and come back. The son actually bowed down, knowing that he is the thief. But that was the custom in the Vedic times, how they would, that the kings were always subservient to the sadhus, and that was the culture. So then he took but then Indra then, he vanished, and so he took the horse, the son took the horse and brought back, and again they started the preparations, and right at the end of massive effort over a long period, and finally when it was again to just about to be completed, the same thing was done by Indra. Again he came, again he stole the horse, and this time he changed his disguise into another sadhu. So again the son went out, and the son went looking, and then he disappeared and he brought the horse back. So he repeatedly did this just to break the, to see that it would not happen, the yagya would not be completed. And when this was going on for so many times, then Maharaj Prithu felt responsible that finally I am the one who has to stop this. So he prepared to go to search for Indra. And because he was powerful enough, and he would have been certainly been able to at least arrest Indra or maybe even kill him, he had that kind of power. So the Brahmins had all said that actually, you know, you shouldn't be doing this, because you are here to finish the yagya, not finish Indra, you know, so you stay back. And then the Brahmins themselves, then they had the powers, so they actually started reciting special mantras. And these mantras were so powerful that it would have brought Indra from wherever he was hiding. It would have dragged him there. There was no way he could have remained escaped. So now he was actually being cornered. And just when it looked as if now there is no hope for Indra. And then Lord Brahma came. And then Lord Brahma came and asked Prithu Maharaj. So that, you know, he explained, you see, Indra is also a very, very nice devotee. It's just that, you know, he's covered by this his desires, and you know there would be so much disharmony if he's arrested or if he's harmed, because you know he's the leader of the demigods. So he explained to him, and he said that, you know, ultimately I am very happy, and I know that Lord Vishnu is very happy with your efforts. You know, you've done 99 yagyas. It doesn't make a difference if you do 99 or 100. The purpose was to please Lord Vishnu, and he is happy. So whether you do 99 or not, or do the next one or not, he's happy. So just drop it. If you drop it, then there's no need to you know, do all this, and Indra is also happy. And immediately Maharaj Prithu agreed. So imagine, it is very deeply described, greatly described, how much effort it goes into what it means to actually have an Ashwamedh Yagya, one Yagya, which nobody in this world can even do, even dream of doing one. And even in those days, to do one was a massive challenge. To do 99 was unthinkable, and to complete the 100th needed someone of the highest, because it also needed the complete unanimity of all the kingdoms and the level of purity. Even if there's the slightest impure element, it could not be completed. There are so many things to be cross-checked. So after doing all this effort, at just the request of Lord Brahma, he immediately dropped. So when Maharaj Prithu was really under that enormous challenge of, you know, having come to that level of final moment of success, and it was in his hands, even the obstacle he would have overcome. There was no way he could have, Indra could have escaped him. And he was asked to, so he took the principle of cooperation. But Prabhupada is telling us, Maharaj Prithu also demonstrated that for harmony and if for the final goal we should not miss. So sometimes, so what is the meaning of cooperation? It's a cooperation doesn't mean that I will do what I want and you will find happiness in that. No, it is actually that we have to find a common way, and it may be that sometimes both you feel you're right, the other person is also feeling he's right, and there is a strong difference of view. So sometimes someone has to let go, and by letting go, often the other person then is also, always the other person also takes a softer stand because he sees that there is no opposition. So just it's not a question of proving the point that we are right, it's a question of seeing the what is the mood. So if you are doing it as part of a movement of Prabhupada, of ISKCON, of Vaishnav, then that goal should not be lost, that we are always judged by as a small soldier in this army of Vaishnavs or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And in that, our role is to see that the minimum we do is not to disrupt harmony. And especially if we have been given more leadership role or more authority or a certain higher responsibility, then even more so, because usually that is more visible, more disturbing, more known to others. So to create a harmony is of it is not a pacifist who. It is actually, of course, if there's a deviation, if there's the opposition on amazing philosophic grounds, that's a different thing. Then there would be the highest authority can take a role. But usually that is not the case. It's more on processes and more on manners of doing it. It may be our styles of our approach. It may be our natures. Somebody has a certain way to do it. Others have a different way to do it. So it usually becomes down to personality, which one way or the other comes down to how our ego reacts. So that is where we have to let go and see how the acceptance is from that. So Maharaj Pitu is actually demonstrating this in the highest level, where he just let go for the greater good. So the purpose is to see what is the greater good. And since we are not an individualist movement, and certainly not as a living entity also, we are not only subservient, we are the servant of the servant, but also we are meant to serve others, and at the same time to see that we please Guru and Krishna by helping others. So this is one of the major reasons why there is generally a problem when we cannot cooperate. Some of the other lessons that comes out from Maharaj Pitu's behavior and Indra's behavior also, that what great men do, other men will follow. So it is said that actually when Indra went, changed on disguises and came up with all these bogus sadhu, so it said that each time he did that, that actually started a trend which is actually going on even today. We see so many bogus sadhus, and sometimes people are wearing different dresses and behaviors and fooling people. So it's also said that another point is that we should not go by the dress, we should also go by the quality of the behavior on the heart of the person. And this is one of the clear demonstrations where externals always fool. Like Prabhupada also said that it is not merely the dhoti, kurta, shaved head, shikha, you know, and the external dress. It has a necessity, but that is not what makes the devotee. It is really when it comes to the test of, you know, cooperation and sincerity of purpose, following the regulative principles, steadily doing our sadhana day in and day out, how we rectify our mistakes when they happen, etc. So this is really what makes the substance of a devotee, and then that is makes the substance of a temple. Collection of devotees will make substance of a temple, and that temple really represents the Lord, and that's what people come to see. Radhanath Maharaj has often said that, you know, when they come to Radha Gopinath temple, devotees, when people come here, and people don't come here only because of the carvings or the chandelier or the paintings and or even the beautiful dresses and the deities, that will be very much attracted. But if they have to come regularly and actually become loyal to a movement, and when they want to change their hearts, They will come when that environment is created, which is really the substance. And that environment is that, are they, if you are pleasing Krishna, then Krishna is, out of his mercy will create such a situation where more and more devotees come. And the same way, like if you see the sacrifices in Juhu was made, we know the stories of how before the deities came first, and before the temple was built, there was a royal battle actually. And for a long time they were staying in tents with rats and such mud and slush and such difficult conditions, so much opposition from corrupt MLAs and so on. And in spite of that, Prabhupada insisted that they build a temple, and Radharas Bihari came up. So those sacrifices are really what actually attracts people. There may be people who have not yet come to the stage and they're still envious and they will not come. But there are many people who, out of their own misery and difficulties, will want to look for alternatives and where to turn to. And that's when they come to, they get a chance when they, and it's not a chance actually. Krishna will arrange their situation in such a way that they will, that so-called chance encounter will give them a greater opportunity to dive deeper into that association of devotees, so that that initial little faith that is there, you know, becomes a stronger faith, and then the anarthas also start moving out. So if we see this whole picture at all times, then we know that we are only a tiny cog in the wheel. Also, another lesson is that so when the ego is infatuated, when the ego is grown big, then we become also very insensitive to others. Like Indra's case, at that moment he was so much working on a matter of ego that he couldn't see the kind of disruptions that were taking place. He just couldn't see on any other sensible time, you know, he would have been, if he was explained that that what Maharaj Prithu is doing, he would have perfectly understood the magnitude of the service that Prithu Maharaj is doing and the benefit to whole mankind. But in that moment of madness, when he was enraged by that anger and envy, it's a lesson for us that you know, even for our small achievements, we can you know, our ego can overcome us, and then we become so insensitive and we cannot indifferent to the reactions of others and also the impact to the others. And lastly, I'd like to end by this conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramanand Rai, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramanand Rai as to what is the greatest name, greatest fame in the world. And Ramanand Rai Prabhu said that the greatest fame is to be known as a humble devotee. So, as he has explained, you know, and he was taken, it was used as an instrument by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for giving us the perfect the perfect answers to so many questions. So in this particular instance also, even from the point of view, because it doesn't matter if people don't see whether somebody has done this sacrifice. Now, is it Juhu's sacrifice or many of the other temples, devotees may have sacrificed, or practically we also may not be knowing when so many efforts were made in the all over the world. See, when we read in the Lilamrit also, we only read what actually was only parts of the efforts. But there were 5,000 devotees, there were so many others who were involved. Many, many sacrifices have gone unnoticed to anyone. Completely. Anyone means anyone. Nobody must be knowing. But certainly Guru and Krishna would know. And that is enough. So that's being a humble devotee means we don't look for seeing that whether we do everything right, and then at the end of it we want to see whether it has been noticed or not. It is just that whether it's noticed or not, whether it's even if it's a failure. We heard that there were 108 temples when Prabhupada was there before he left this planet. But it didn't mean that they made only 108 efforts. They must have made several hundreds more. Many efforts must have fallen by the wayside. Many, many thousands of initiatives must have been wasted. So is it that that is of no value and only because you succeed is value? Absolutely not. You know, it is just the effort to do to please the guru is the most important thing. Finally, an initiative may work or not is entirely in the hands of the Lord. So this is what is the crucial aspect that we should remember in our efforts to serve the devotees and guru, that the consciousness in which we do is most important, to see that we, if we are pleasing Krishna, if that is the goal, then Krishna will not be pleased if we don't have harmonious relationships. And even in the services that we do the best we can, and we should excel in that. We should use our creativity, ingenuity, or any initiative that we have. The enthusiasm has to be there to make it successful, but never losing the sight of the fact that we, it shouldn't override or overrule the harmony that is necessary in seeing that other people's sensitivities are not affected. So, Hare Krishna. If there's any questions, any comments? So, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.